There are many problems in a marriage that can be resolved simply by communicating well. Being willing to share our thoughts and feelings and asking our husbands what theirs are, not assuming that we know what they are thinking or that they should automatically know how we feel about things, but to share things with one another and to learn about each other. In this episode, I have 6 key components for you that will help you to communicate better with your husband. Learning to do this properly alleviates so many problems and helps you to avoid some of the hurtful situations that can happen in a marriage. Let's get started. Welcome to the Faith Lived Out podcast. Are you wanting a loving Christian marriage but are unsure what that looks like or how to get it? Do you have fears about becoming a submissive wife, afraid that you'll lose your identity or become a doormat? Do you have thoughts that maybe you're doing this whole wife and marriage thing all wrong and you want to know how to do it right, to stop worrying all the time and to learn how to truly put your faith and trust in the Lord? Hey girl, I'm Nancy Adamson, wife, mom, and Grammy to 7 sweet babies, Christian mentor, Bible teacher, speaker, and women's ministry leader. I see you and I get you because I've been there, and I'm here to share with you what God has taught me on how to have a loving biblical marriage and what the true meaning of being a submissive wife really looks like. We'll also chat about how to find wisdom and truth for life's challenging questions in His Word, how to apply God's truth to our lives, and to put the cares and concerns that are on your heart safely in the Father's hands. So if you're ready to learn how to live out your faith every day and follow the amazing plan that God has for your marriage, grab your coffee, pull up a chair next to mine, and let's get started. Proper communication can honestly make or break your marriage. The words that come out of our mouth can either build up or they can tear down. It's our choice. In Proverbs 18:21, we read, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." That old saying of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that is absolutely not true. What we choose to say and how we say it, or if we choose to remain silent, can make all the difference in the world in our marriages. And as we'll learn today, what comes out of our mouth comes from what is within our hearts. I have 6 key components for you to help you to communicate better with your husband for a healthy relationship and to help you avoid some of those hurtful pitfalls that can happen in a marriage. This will include some conversation about communicating about intimacy, so you may not want to have little ears around when you listen today. Our first key component to communicating is don't assume, ask. We all have preconceived notions about men, what they're like, what they like and what they dislike. And oftentimes these are based on the men that we grew up with. Maybe it was our dad or our brothers or other guys maybe that we went to high school with or dated in high school. Sometimes it can even be a father figure that we see on TV or things that we see men portrayed as on TV or in movies. We assume that they're all this way and that they're all the same. And so we don't ask how they feel or what they think. We just think that we know it already. I am constantly reminded that my husband is nothing like the men that I grew up with. So here's an example. I used to feel guilty anytime that I would sleep in late or been like really tired because, you know, maybe one of the kids was up all night long or something had happened and I was really tired and I wanted to take a nap in the afternoon. And I felt wrong about this and I felt guilty about this. And I did not because of anything that my husband had done, but because of the way that I grew up. You know, my father thought that sleeping in was a sign of laziness. Like my sister used to want to sleep in and he used to go in and like rip the covers off of her and make her get out of bed. So that was my thought and what men thought about sleeping. That is not my husband's perspective of this at all. To him, If you are sleeping in late or you need to take a nap, it's because your body is telling you that you need rest. So go do it. You know, I had these guilty feelings and these thoughts and, oh, what does he think and all this kind of stuff. It was all in my head. It was all preconceived notions. And it was a while before I learned and I saw what his response was, that he didn't worry about it. He wasn't concerned except for the fact that, are you feeling okay if I slept in late or I needed to take a nap? I never had any ridicule or any condemnation for that from him. This is just one of the many little things where I put unnecessary pressure and guilt on myself because of my preconceived notions as to what I thought my husband felt about this. And it was not anything that he had told me about. And I didn't ask. I didn't ask him how he felt about it, or, you know, kind of even notice what his concerns were or what his, you know, what his response was to me for quite some time. There were also things that I did right, things that he appreciated that I didn't know about because he hasn't really mentioned it to me. If you listened to last week's episode, then you know how important having dinner ready or at least planned when my husband comes home is important to him. That is something that's what a wife should do. I work all day, and when I come home, I want to have dinner planned and not come home to, hi, honey, what's for dinner? Because I should have that taken care of, right? And I did that. And I did that because that's the way that I was raised. That's what the way that my mom had always done it. And it honestly wasn't until recently that I realized how important that was to him. So communication of asking and not assuming what the other person thinks is vital to our marriage. So therefore, ask your husband on any given subject what his opinion is, what his likes or what his dislikes are about something, what makes him tick. What is important to him, and what is something that he's really not all that concerned with? And then talk to him about what his goals are and what his desires are, how he would like to see things done around the house, and what's important to him around the house. You know, we might be surprised sometimes as to what their answers are and things that we kill ourselves for that they don't really have any concern over, or things that we are lacking in, and it's something that is easy to do, and we're just missing it because we don't realize that that's something that's important to him. When he tells you how he feels, be sure not to ridicule him or to argue with him if you don't agree. It's okay to not agree with them on everything. Like, they can have their own opinion and what they think, and you can have your opinion. That's totally fine. You don't have to agree on everything. If you ridicule him about this, or if you disagree with him and it causes a fight, then he's not going to open up to you anymore. He's not going to tell you what his true feelings are and what he really likes and dislikes. He's either not going to tell you at all, or he's going to tell you what he thinks you want to hear, which is not helpful. So be sure to always be kind in your response to him, even if you don't agree. And if it's something big that you don't agree with, like, okay, this might cause problems in the future because we don't agree, then at a separate time, kindly discuss it with him. Find out where he's coming from. Find out if he has some preconceived notion about something that isn't true and that you can enlighten him on, or something that you can both pray about and be able to get on the same page over at some point. Key component number two is that he can't read your mind. So tell him. I see so often where women are upset because their expectations were not met, but their husband had no clue as to what they were thinking and what they were hoping would happen. Much too often, we think that our husbands are just supposed to know these things and to know how we feel and to act accordingly. But girls, this simply isn't the case. Men and women are not the same. We don't do things the same way. We don't think of things the same way. We don't have the same feelings and emotions about things. So they're not going to perceive what we're thinking. They're not going to know what we're thinking and what's going on in our little heads because they don't think the same way. And then you add on top of that, that not all women are the same. Like what one woman likes and thinks is important to her and, you know, what wants to have, another one could care less about that. And they want something completely different. So we're all different people. And between men and women and the differences between one woman and another woman, there is no way for your husband to perceive what you're thinking and how he should act or how he should respond or what kind of Valentines you want or any of those things. We have to let them know what we're thinking, what's important to us. My husband knows that flowers are important to me. They're important to me because I just like flowers and dark chocolate, two of my favorite things. And he knows that because I've told him that. He knows that I like to arrange the flowers in the vase. So if he's going to buy me something on a whim, it's usually flowers because he knows that that's what I like. There are so many marriages that get into trouble because one person assumed that the other one knew how they felt, knew what they wanted, and then they were hurt and devastated because the spouse missed the mark and disappointed them. This is why it's so important to communicate. We need to clearly lay out our thoughts and our expectations and our feelings about things. When we don't, then we are hurt and upset because our expectations are not met. And it's not even really our husband's fault. It's our own because we haven't let them know what our expectations are. And sometimes we need to just let those expectations go. Let our husbands show love to us in the way that they want to. Let our husbands do things for us in the way that they want to and not have these high expectations as to how the day is going to go or how this event's going to go or this kind of thing, but allow our husbands the freedom to be able to do it the way that they want to. And then if it's something that you really want a certain way or your husband's really missing the mark and you need to talk to him about it, well, then tell him. Tell him what you like and what you don't like. Tell him certain expectations that you may have for Valentine's Day or for your birthday or for whatever other event that it might be. You know, many years ago, I had to have a chat with my husband about Mother's Day because Mother's Day would kind of come and go and yeah, happy Mother's Day, but that was kind of it. And I'm like, oh no, I'm sorry. I work all year and I give all year and I'd like a little appreciation. Like that's what we did for my mom. You know, it was her special day and she didn't have to cook that day and we gave her gifts and you know, it was just a wonderful, happy time. And it was actually nice to show appreciation to my mom and to learn to do that. And I wanted the same thing for my kids. And yes, I wanted a little appreciation as well. So I had to have a talk with my husband and say, hey, this is not just another day for me. This is a special day. This is the day that I look forward to. Can you help the kids to make it special? And when Father's Day rolls around, I help to make that day special for you. So I need you to help that make that day special for me as well. And he totally got that. But you know, in thinking about it, in the way that he grew up, because his dad left when he was young, his mom probably didn't have great big Mother's Days. It probably wasn't what he was used to. So he wasn't not doing it because he didn't appreciate me. He wasn't not doing it because he thought that I didn't deserve it or anything, but that's just not what he was used to. And then I let him know what I would like to see and like to have happen. And he totally followed through with that. And we've had great Mother's Days ever since. I could have been upset and sulked and thought that he, you know, didn't appreciate me. But instead, I just went to him and talked to him and change the situation because otherwise it's going to keep happening. If you don't tell your husband how you feel and that you were disappointed or that you would like something to change, it's never going to change. And he's just going to keep doing it because he has no idea how it affects you. How we communicate our thoughts and our feelings, our wants and our desires are just as important as what we say. In Proverbs 15:14, we read, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." So even if we are saying the right thing, if we are trying to do the right thing, but we're angry or we have wrong motives or we have a resentful tone when we're saying it, then we're only causing harm. I mean, it is not doing us any good by what we are telling our husbands. Colossians 3:8 tells us, "But now you yourselves are to put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." And then Proverbs 15:1 tells us, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger." We can't be speaking to them in anger, yelling at them and ridiculing them for what they have done and being upset with them, and then try to turn around and tell them what we want them to do instead and how we want them to be. They are not going to listen to one word that comes out of your mouth when we do that. I mean, if we're yelling at them and why did you do this and da-da-da and you need to do this, they're not going to listen. We need to be careful in how we speak to our husbands in that we are never ridiculing them, that we keep the anger to a minimum. And I'll say a minimum because I know that everyone has a hard time with that, but that we keep that definitely to a minimum and that we are not yelling at them in anger and then trying to get them to change because that's not going to be helpful. Or getting after them for the way that they have done something in the moment. When you're angry and you're hurt, doing this will most likely cause you to say something that is hurtful that you can't take back. That is one thing about our words, ladies. Once they're out there, they're out there, and we cannot take them back. If you need to walk away and gather yourself, examine your feelings, and find out maybe what the real problem is, and take some time to pray over it and get perspective, that's totally fine. And then go back and talk to your husband. But know too that we should always be looking for a way to talk about it and a way to reconcile our feelings the same day, not to carry it out for days. In Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." We are never to communicate our feelings by being angry for days, by giving them the silent treatment, or withholding intimacy from them. Ladies, this is never helpful and only causes more problems and a deeper wedge between you and your husband. That's why it says to not let the sun go down on your wrath or on your anger. That's telling us that the arguments, disagreements, or the hurt feelings should be taken care of the same day and then move on. Don't be bringing it up again, but move on. The longer that we drag it out, the worse that it gets, and we waste time being mad at each other and being in turmoil rather than living in peace. There is no good that comes from this. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So our communication with our husband should impart grace to them and be for necessary edification, which is to kindly instruct them and to encourage them, to give them a positive feedback about something. Even if you're asking them to change in some way, we can still do it in a positive way. We would do well to think about what it is that we're going to say before we say it. As I said, think about saying it in a positive manner, encouraging him to do the right thing rather than just telling him what he did was wrong and how disappointed you are, or just pointing out his wrong actions or wrong thoughts. But speak to him in a positive manner and like, "Hey, this is what happened. This would be a better way." Like, and when I went to my husband and talked to him about Mother's Day, it wasn't, "Hey, why are you like this? And why didn't you do this?" and da da da. But it was, "Hey, this is what I'd like to see happen. And this is why." And in a positive way, and giving him constructive feedback into how it could be different and how it could be better. Proverbs 16:24 tells us, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Another old saying is, "You can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar." So if you want your husband to listen to you, to know what your feelings are and what you truly are thinking, then you need to express them in a kind way. I find that one of the best ways to do this is to point out times when my husband has gotten it right. That's how he knows that I like flowers, is because I have pointed out to him those times that he has bought me flowers. So he knows that I like them. And so I thank him for buying me the flowers. I thank him for the different things that he does that I appreciate. And we can't be looking at some of these things and think, oh, but that's what a husband is supposed to do, or that's what a man is supposed to do. No, we have to show them those things that they do that we appreciate and that they like. And the best time to do it is when they do it. So immediately thank your husband or go out of your way to say, hey, you know what? Thank you so much for taking the trash out this morning and that I didn't have to, you know, smell it when I got out of bed or whatever it is. But thank him for that. And the more that you do that, the more that you show your appreciation towards him, his natural response is going to want to do more things for you. That's what anybody's natural response would be. And so start that in your family, in your relationship, and thank him for the things that he does for you. And you might even find that he's going to start thanking you for the things that you do for him. When he does mess up or when the expectations are not met, then choose a proper time to talk to him about it. Choose the right time and to speak kindly. And the right time is not when you're in the middle of something, not when he's headed his way out the door or just walked in from work, but choose a right time when you can both be quiet and not interrupted and to be able to speak to one another about it. And then again, speak kindly in a positive way, giving him constructive criticism that is grace to the hearer and for edification, and let him know what you would like to see instead. All right, so then on to component number 3, which is to be honest. Be truthful about your thoughts and your feelings. Don't tell him what you think that he wants to hear or what you think is appropriate to feel about something, but be honest in your feelings. Proverbs 12:22 tells us, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." All of our communication with others, especially with our husbands, should be truthful. No little white lies, no bending the truth or withholding information, but completely upfront and honest in all things. This means not hiding those purchases from him that you know that he didn't want you to spend money on, or when he notices that you're wearing a new outfit, you say, oh yeah, this has been hanging in my closet. Of course, it's only been there for like 3 days, but come on, ladies, we need to not be doing this. We need to be honest with our husbands. In Matthew 5:37, it says, "But let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Don't tell him one thing to his face and then do something different behind his back. If he asks for you to do something and you say that you will, make sure that it gets done. And if he's asked for you to not do something, then make sure that you don't do it. Don't have the thought that, oh, everybody tells a little white lie to their husband or keeps little secrets here and there. As believers, we are to be different. In Colossians 3:9, it tells us, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." Because lying is a sin, and as believers, we should be putting that off. We should be making sure that we're not lying, that we're not keeping secrets, that we're not saying one thing and then doing something else, but that we are always upfront and honest with our husbands. All right, and then key component number 4 is listen more than you speak. If we want our husbands to listen to us, to truly take our feelings to heart, then we must begin by listening to them, not discounting their feelings because they're different than ours, but embracing them to understand them and to accommodate their feelings in some way if we have the opportunity to do so. He who warns a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. That's what we read in Proverbs 18:13. So if we speak before we fully hear something, it is folly and shame to us. So be mindful not to interrupt him when he's speaking or to be thinking what your response is going to be before he gets done talking. Like we hear one key word that we like totally hone in on that we're like, oh, I need to respond like this because of that. Da, da, da. And then we completely miss everything else that they've said. Like, have you ever done that? I've done that. We have to stop and listen to what they're saying and not interrupt them, and to hear their full thing, as long as it may be. But we need to stop and to listen to everything that they're saying before we respond. If you and your husband have a problem with this and you tend to interrupt each other, or, you know, stop and you assume what he's going to say, or he assumes what you're going to say, and so he tries to finish your sentence for you all the time when you're having these discussions, or, you know, trying to answer quickly, then a good thing to do is to write down your feelings. To write a letter to your husband. This is something that we learned a long, long time ago in a marriage encounter seminar. And it's so helpful in just write out your feelings to him and what your thoughts are and what it is. And that way he has a time to sit and to read it and to have that full thought process with it, to hear every word that you are saying before he responds. And if need be, ask him to write you a letter. Say, you know what? I have a really hard time with this because my mind just starts going and I'm thinking about all these things that I want to say back to you. So will you write it out for me so that I can sit and read it and contemplate over it and pray over it before I respond? It is a great way to be able to do this. James 1:19 tells us, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." If he says something that upsets you or angers you, then be slow to respond. If need be, take a minute. Take some time, walk away, think about it, pray over it, you know, before you respond back to him. Give yourself some time to maybe get a proper perspective and, you know, not say those things that you're going to regret later. Because like I said before, once those words come out, you cannot take them back. So watch yourself. And if you find that you're going to start yelling or throwing out accusations or insults, then just stop and say, you know what? I need to walk away. I need to go think about this and pray about this. And then we can pick it up later and continue this conversation. Now, here comes the really tough part. Girls, we are not perfect. We do not do everything right. None of us walk down the aisle knowing how to be the perfect godly wife or the perfect godly husband. We all learn this over time, meaning we're all going to make mistakes. So when you have these heartfelt conversations with your husband, he may tell you things that are hurtful. He may tell you things that you do that he doesn't like, that he is disappointed in, that he would like to have change. Maybe it's something, a sin area that you need to work on. Maybe it's just a desire of his is different than what yours is. But there is going to be times that, as difficult as it is, we need to find out what they're thinking, how they're feeling, and possibly make changes to what we do, how we respond, how we take care of something, whatever the situation may be. And as difficult as this is to take, particularly when they tell us, because we can really take it to heart and we can really get upset about it, but understand that that's a part of building this relationship and becoming one. And if he doesn't tell you, then you're never going to get past it. And he's going to end up resentful and bitter. So as difficult as it is, you want him to tell you what is wrong and what it is that you need to do to change it so that you can move on in peace and in love and have that long-lasting, loving relationship that you want to have. These are just like growing pains that every marriage has to go through. So I know that it's difficult, but just really think about this, really pray about this, ask him what it is that maybe you need to do differently in order to be able to improve your marriage. We want to be able to go to our husbands and to point out to them what we would like them to do in the relationship, how we would like them to change, and we need to be willing to do the same thing and allow for them to come to us in the same way and not get upset and angry or bitter about it. All right, then. on to key component number 5, which is communication and intimacy. Depending on how you were raised, this may be not even an issue for you. Like, you're totally comfortable in talking about this, but not everybody is. And your spouse may not be totally comfortable in talking about this. But share your likes and your dislikes in this area. Be willing to be vulnerable in this. And you don't have to say a lot. You know, in the middle of things and something is going well, you can just, you know, express to him how much you like that particular thing, or maybe express how much, yeah, that not so much, you know, or when it's all over. Like, if you don't want to break the mood, then you may want to say something very gently when you're all done and say, hey, next time, maybe we could do this, or maybe we could not do that. But, you know, let him know what those things are. This time is to bring pleasure to both of you. This is an intimate, wonderful time that God has created for you, and it should bring joy and pleasure to the both of you. And if it's not, then discuss it with each other. Or if there's more that you would like to see happen in that area, then discuss it together. And ask your husband what pleases him. What makes a difference for him and what he would like to do or he would like to see or whatever the case may be. But ask him what he thinks and what pleases him and be able to do those things for him. It's better this way because then you know that you're doing the right thing. You know that you're pleasing him. Because of what my husband has communicated to me about being intimate, I have found that stressful days for him, I would need to initiate on a stressful day. And it's actually good for me to initiate on a stressful day because being intimate is a stress reliever for men. It's very helpful for them, but they're not necessarily going to come to you. So if you see your husband being stressed out, maybe find a place for the kids to be or something and plan some time alone with him and help him out in that area. It will speak volumes to him. And then also too, I know from my husband, if he's had a long, busy day and I come to him at the end of the day to want to be intimate, it's probably not going to happen and I'm going to be turned down. I just know that about him. And so we have to think about those things. It's nothing personal against me. He's just not there at the moment, at that mindset. So we have to be willing to know what it is that they like and what they dislike and what works for them and what doesn't work for them. And then to plan accordingly and not set ourselves up for failure. You know, not waiting until, for me, the, you know, late in the evening and then go to my husband because I know that most likely it's not going to happen then. So I just set myself up for failure if I try to do that. So think about that. Find out from your husband what is good for him and then respond accordingly. We communicate volumes to our husbands when we turn them down, when we don't ever initiate intimacy with them, or when we withhold it from them. So many women have paid severe consequences for this because what ends up happening is they're pushing their husbands away when they do this. And after a while, they stop pursuing them and they don't desire to be intimate with their wives anymore. And they have lost their spirit. Their wife has broken them. Don't be doing this. In 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5, it tells us, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. If at all possible, we should always say yes to our husbands. Not that we can't ever say no, but it should be rare and it should be done assuring them that this is why it is not because of you and with a promise of intimacy in the near future so that they understand that you're not pushing them away personally, but there's an issue, there's a problem, there's a situation, whatever the case may be, but that they understand that you're not pushing them away. And then be sure that you do have that time with them. If you have thoughts, if you have, you know, concerns, if you have resentment and feelings towards your husband that make this difficult for you, then those things need to be worked out. Those things need to be discussed, because this part of your relationship needs to stay on track. It is very important to your relationship. Our last component is to keep his confidences. If your husband has shared his thoughts and desires with you, then please do not go and share them with anyone else. If you don't agree with him and you think that what he's thinking is silly, or if you think that it's endearing and sweet and so you want to tell your friend, please don't, because your husband doesn't see it that way. Your husband just sees that he can't trust you in what he tells you. When he opens himself up to you and is vulnerable to you, then he's afraid that you're going to go tell someone else. And so we need to keep his confidences. We need to keep these things to ourselves and between just us and our husband, so that he can feel that he trusts in you. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." And a whisperer is someone who gossips. And even if it's, you know, about your husband, it's still gossip if it's not something that person needs to know. You know, we talked about this in my Sunday school class, actually, this last Sunday. And the teacher gave this really good example as to what gossip is if you're not a part of the problem or the solution, then it's gossip. So think about that before you speak to someone as far as anything to do with anyone else, but especially your husband. We are told this over and over and over again in Scripture. Proverbs 17:9, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." And then Proverbs 11:13 says, "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter." Be someone who seeks love and has a faithful spirit for her husband. Do this by keeping his confidences, by not sharing with others what he tells you and what his thoughts and desires are if they are meant to be kept private. From the Proverbs 31 women we read, "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." Ladies, this is our goal, that our husband would safely trust in us and that we would do him no harm, no evil, all the days of our life, and that he would know that and trust in that in us. We all have probably at least one of these, if not more, that we fall short in or that we could be better at. So then I'll ask you, where is God convicting your heart in this today? What is he telling you that you need to work on in your marriage? Is it to not assume what your husband is thinking, but to ask him what he's thinking and what his thoughts and feelings are? Is it to be aware that he can't read your mind and to tell him what your expectations are, maybe lessen some of those expectations and have that conversation with him? Is it to be honest with your husband, not keeping any little secrets or telling any little white lies? Is it to learn to listen to him more than you speak? To be quiet while he's talking and to listen to every word before you respond? Is it maybe having a better communication and intimacy, sharing likes and dislikes and what it is that pleases both of you? Or is it to keep his confidence in that, not sharing any of the personal things that he tells you, and in keeping his trust in you? Changing this starts with prayer and asking the Holy Spirit to change our hearts. We cannot do this by sheer willpower and determination, but we must ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us and to help us and to help us in the moment. So often these things happen in a moment's time and they're a flip of a switch, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us and to stop us if need be, or to turn our minds to something else. And we can do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:34 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So where is your heart in this? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this to you and what changes in your heart that may need to take place and where you may need to view things differently. Do you need to not assume wrong motives of your husband? Do you need to maybe be more open, honest, and vulnerable with him? Do you need to learn to listen and not react immediately, but to stop and pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to help you in your response? Do you need to learn to be someone that your husband can trust completely? The Holy Spirit can help you with each and every one of these, so seek His help. In Proverbs 16:23, it gives us this instruction: the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Ladies, cultivate a heart of wisdom by learning God's ways in communicating with your husband. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray that God has used this episode to bless and inspire you to live out your faith in Him. If it has, please do me a huge favor by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way that I know if you like the show, and you will be helping others to find this podcast and be lifted up by the Word of God. Is there someone who came to mind while you were listening today and you said, "Ooh, she needs to hear this"? Well, then send her the link so she can be encouraged too. Are you in the Dallas area and looking for a fresh new speaker to add excitement to your next luncheon, women's retreat, or other women's event? Then drop me a note at nancy@faithlivedout.com and let's chat about it. That's Nancy, N-A-N-C-I, at faithlivedout.com. I would love to come and meet with you and the ladies in your group. You're also welcome to visit the website at faithlivedout.com for more information, blog posts, journaling ideas, and free printables. Or become a part of our little community of believers by joining the Faith Lived Out community group on Facebook, where you can join together with other faith-led wives and moms just like you. Links to these areas and the scripture references used in today's episode are in the show notes. Ladies, thank you again for listening today, and know that I am praying for God to be with you as you learn to trust in Him more and to live out your faith every day. God bless you, and see you on the next episode.